If you've got an issue that you want to bring the rest of the nation's attention, there's no place you'd rather be right now than in New Hampshire. The privilege of hosting the first presidential primary means enterprising advocates have a chance to get themselves in the spotlight. And NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown reports the issues jockeying for position seem to be proliferating.
Let's just start with an incomplete list of some of the different advocacy groups active in New Hampshire right now. There are two different climate groups, one founded by activist and author Bill McKibben and another funded by liberal billionaire Tom Steyer. AARP is training folks to ask about defending Social Security. There's the campaign finance reform effort, the New Hampshire Rebellion. There's the bipartisan Budget First Coalition that wants candidates to say how they'll fix the deficit. And, of course, these guys.
New Hampshire has the first-in-the-nation primary, so we have all sorts of politicians running amok in the state, shaking hands, kissing babies, maybe a few bottoms, trying to please people and win over their vote.
Keith Yergo is part of the Stamp Stampede, another campaign finance reform group founded by Ben Cohen, better known as Ben of Ben & Jerry's. These days, wherever there are town hall meetings, for every member of the public who just genuinely has a question to ask, there seem to be two people who have an agenda.
Hi, my name is Brenda Bouchard. I live in Madbury.
Here's one from a recent Scott Walker event.
By 2050, it's projected that 28 million baby boomers will have Alzheimer's. So my question to you is, what will you do in your presidential campaign and beyond to ensure this devastating disease, as well as the potential bankruptcy to Medicare and Medicaid, get the attention they so greatly need and deserve? Thank you, Governor.
No, excellent point. Thank you for the work you do, because I know...
This is called bird-dogging. The questions are well-rehearsed, crisply delivered, and point the candidate toward a desired answer. Groups offer trainings for how to do this well and have talking points and scripts on their websites. For these folks, the campaign trail is a stage to get your issue front and center, and it contrasts starkly with the mythical New Hampshire primary town hall where individual voters confront candidates one-on-one with no agenda other than their own. And if bird-dogging alone doesn't work, you can try what college climate activists with 350 New Hampshire did at a Hillary Clinton event in July. You can heckle.
Well, no, wait. That's okay.
The chants died down very quickly, and a banner unfurled by student activists was soon obscured as the crowd gave a standing ovation to Clinton. But for one news cycle, everyone was talking about Clinton and climate.
If, as an interest group, your goal is simply to draw attention, then this is a great way.
David Redlosk is a political scientist at Rutgers who also spent 10 years at the University of Iowa.
The media is all over these events in Iowa and New Hampshire, and so you're standing there asking your question, there's a decent chance it'll be your soundbite on the evening news.
But does this actually work? Do these campaigns lead to policy changes? It's a complicated question to answer, but if you were to point to one success, it would be the campaign to make health care reform a major issue in the 2004 election. Brian Hawkins, a union organizer in New Hampshire, was part of that push when he was fresh out of college. Mostly, this campaign turned out people wearing their trademark purple shirts asking about health care to every campaign event on the calendar.
I think when you heard the candidates start to say things like, oh, I see the purple people are here, and they'd start talking about health care. For me, that was a turning point where you started to see people, they really felt like they needed to make it a part of their stump speech.
This 2004 campaign was paid for by a major national labor union, the SEIU. It started by asking towns to pass resolutions in favor of quality health care at town meetings, and it got more than 50,000 New Hampshire people to sign a pro-health care reform petition in the days before online petition drives. John Thing, another organizer on the campaign, says candidates often try to ignore that one voter who comes out to ask about the same issue at every event.
It was different faces. It wasn't, you know, some of these campaigns, they would see the same person over and over again. The neat thing with this is there were just regular voters that were showing up and demanding that something be done.
A lot of these campaigns are using the same tactics as the I'm a healthcare voter campaign. But as the number of groups asking questions like these starts to proliferate, can they break through the noise? Dave Redlosk, the political scientist, says candidates are starting to get savvier about this and try to filter the questions they're taking at big public events to suit their existing platforms. He thinks these days a quieter approach might be more effective.
Virtually any candidate will talk to you right now, closed door in particular, because they want to hear from you, but they hope to get you to say nice things about them. That approach is going to be a heck of a lot more effective than, you know, a bunch of people standing around in T-shirts and asking potentially hostile questions to get attention.
And lo and behold, there are groups doing just that this year. A bipartisan group of local luminaries called Our Kids New Hampshire has begun meeting privately with presidential candidates. The group is worried about the opportunity gap, the way race, wealth, and background combine to perpetuate inequities for certain kids.
So the meeting that we had today was terrific with Our Kids.
Here's former Democratic Governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, who met with Our Kids at the Manchester Boys and Girls Club last week.
I think they are on to not only the most important issue, but that rationale that can forge a new consensus.
And in stark contrast to the rabble-rousers at campaign town halls, members of the board of Our Kids declined to discuss on tape how the meetings have been going.
Let's stamp money out of politics. Come on and join me now.
But as the cottage industry of issue campaigns continues to grow in New Hampshire, there's likely room for every strategic approach, whether that means handing out stickers while playing the accordion or having very serious discussions behind closed doors.
Stamp those butts till your arms they cramp.
For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.